Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on CougarBoard. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast.
Aloha! My name is Keith Church, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, the Maui Invitational.
It's coming up.
Sun, sand, hoops. And one of the things that's really exciting about this is that BYU, if they can win some games, have some chance to really get an opportunity to play some great teams. And I think that it could be a lot of fun over the Thanksgiving week watching BYU basketball get ready. You know, there's an opportunity to maybe play the number two team in the country, Arizona. And, of course, Kansas State's very good. Missouri's a good challenge. Purdue has been good in the past. I think they've been down a little bit recently. Pittsburgh, always a solid team. They're receiving votes nationally, as are the Cougars, who open up against San Diego State.
A very good San Diego State
number
team.
16. And so that was one of the things that we'll have to take a look at. But before we get too deep into that tournament, a few games into the season now, we've had a chance to see them two, three times. First impressions
are, I think this year's team is better than last year's team. I think that the big standout to me has been Chase Fisher, in that I was just really hoping that it wasn't a fluke, but he's had, you know, four games, including the exhibitions, where he has played great. And, you know, he shoots with confidence, but not only that, he drives, he passes, he plays pretty good defense. Like,
he's a scorer.
He is what we need opposite of Haas. Like, teams will have a hard time shutting down and defensive scheming for both those guys. That's my first impression, is he changes this team and how teams are going to be able to stop us. It's going to be a lot harder.
And they're both very similar players. I feel like Haas is obviously more comfortable with what they're doing out there. And I feel like the one thing is there's been a little strain in them kind of feeling out how to play together. Have you seen that too?
Yeah, and it's going to hurt Haas' scoring numbers. I think Fisher, being as good of an offensive player as he is, has hurt Haas' scoring numbers. But I don't think Haas cares. I don't care. Like, if this costs him 5 points a game, but we win a lot more games,
sure,
I think everyone's happier.
Sure. A tournament, I mean, March. It's all about March, building a March.
And guards win in March. That's why I'm excited about old Fisher.
So, but that's the problem with this team, guards. Kyle Collinsworth hasn't quite yet been released and let to go. His minutes have been limited. And when he's been in, it's looked like he's just been a little careful on it.
Yeah, you know, he's still a great player. I think he's in our top three players.
Well, they're better with Collinsworth on the floor than, like, Skylar Halford running the point.
Yes, but he does seem a little bit of a step slower to me than he was last year.
Mm.
But last year, his biggest quality to me is he could get anywhere on the court he wanted to be.
But I also think part of why he's been a step slower has been because they played way inferior opponents, right?
And he's just not trying as hard?
Well, I think that's part of it. He knows his minutes are limited. He ought to take it easy, things like that. You know what scenario scares me the most about this team? When BYU gets full court pressed.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's a scary scenario. I'm not comfortable even with Kyle Collinsworth in that scenario. And there's a couple times against Long Beach State where they put on some pressure and tried to guard all 94 feet. And it made me nervous. Skylar Halford, as the backup point guard, taking over point guard duties out there, makes me nervous. Are we sure he's the right guy long term? I know he had a nice night against Long Beach State. And he's taking on a bigger role. I thought this year that we'd see from Skylar Halford that they would bring him in, they'd let him shoot, and if it was working, then great, right? But if it's not working, then you just leave him on the bench. But now it looks like he's taking on the role of being a backup point guard and trying to handle those duties.
What I will first say is he has played great in these first few games, that he has distributed the ball well. He shot a pretty decent percentage. He had a 17-point game against Long Beach. All that being said, I'm still not convinced.
Yeah.
Like last year, he would have one great game and then five no-show games.
I mean, it's the hardest thing in basketball, right? Consistency is a really tough thing to come by.
But so far, I'll give him his props. He's played great now, but I am not, again, I use the same word, I'm not convinced that that's the option we should run with as our sixth man, which is really what he's been so far this year.
Even still, that's been a surprise for me. I saw him as a backup to Chase Fisher. I was surprised to see him be the backup at point.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see that develop as the season goes along. Kind of those point guard duties. But maybe it doesn't matter much, because if Collinsworth plays his way into shape and gets into a spot where he's more comfortable out there, I mean, he's going to be playing 30 of the 40 minutes anyway, right?
You'd think so. He's kind of our stat sheet stuffer that we need to give that guy minutes.
Another thing that I've noticed is I feel like Dave Rose is trying to go San Antonio Spurs on it. He's been limiting minutes for Tyler Hawes as well, maybe already in the process of saving Hawes for March. What do you think?
You know, Hawes is crucial to this team to the point that every time he's on the floor, like every time he's actually laying on the floor after a play, I'm like, oh no. Like,
yeah.
Because that would be the season changer. Right. So I'm for Rose being careful.
Yeah, yeah. Limiting minutes and things like that. I mean, it seems, I mean, he's a great athlete and stuff, but he takes a beating, right? I mean, everybody complains about the West Coast Conference officials not giving Tyler Hawes calls. But at the end of the years, he's been very fatigued.
Yeah.
And I think that that's maybe something that Dave Rose is taking a look at, so limiting.
Let's talk bigs for a second.
Yeah.
There's been a couple surprises for me.
Okay.
One is that Nielsen.
You're about to say Isaac Nielsen.
Nielsen has been great. Great's probably an overstatement, but he's exceeded my expectations.
He makes free throws. We know that about him.
Which is huge for a big man.
Yeah.
You know, when you get in the bonus, which is a big part of college basketball, if you can have a big that can hit free throws, that really changes the game. And we have one in him. He finishes at the rim, I feel like, every bit as good as Austin, which that's not the best praise, but
I think he finishes better than Austin.
Yeah, I think so too. He plays higher. He plays taller around.
He's not as athletic as Nate Austin. Nate Austin moves better.
Yes.
He makes more kind of like the dirty plays, like, I mean, like garbage plays. Not dirty plays, but garbage plays.
And I think that while on bigs, my favorite player on this team from a fan standpoint is Corbin Kafusa.
Yeah, so I mean, everybody loves that guy.
He plays hard.
The crowd wants him to do so well. It's
well, but he I love that just his defensive effort too. He brings instant energy. Offensively, he's raw, and I don't see him anytime this season having like a huge offensive outburst. But boards and blocks, that guy just adds another dimension when he's in the game.
I agree. I mean, I think we may see a future where the starting lineup will be Corbin Kafusi at the 5 and Isaac Nielsen at the 4. That might happen. Dave Rose has no loyalty to – he plays his best 5. Like, he doesn't worry about this guy's a senior or whatever.
No, which is awesome.
I love that. Yeah, no, I think that's great. I just think that maybe that can develop into the starting lineup as the season goes on. One other thing, though, I got to tell you, against Long Beach State, it was close. We got to see some late game strategy, and I saw a couple things. One, they had a really nice set where they were playing kind of like a weave around the 3-point line, and it was designed to go to Tyler Hawes. They went to Tyler Hawes almost exclusively down the stretch. I love that.
Yeah,
but the ball found its way into Hawes's hands, and then if they doubled him. And that's what Long Beach State elected to do. It opened up a corner 3. And there was one made by Anson Winder, and there was one made by Chase Fisher. And I thought that they had a plan. It was clear that they knew what they were doing in a late-game scenario, as it was close when it came to half-court offense. That was positive. right? But it was all guard-based. They put out four guards, and then Nate Austin a rebound. But
It was working.
Nate Austin wasn't involved in the offensive set, right? So I thought that was interesting. The one thing I didn't like, though, is there was, again, two times where it was clear that Long Beach State needed a foul, right? BYU is inbounding from the baseline far into the floor from their hoop, so they still got to go 94 feet.
Yeah.
Tyler Hollis is on the wrong side of the half court, and the inbounds pass came to Chase Fisher, and he shot, and an inbounds pass came to Anson Winder, and he shot, and I sat there, and I went, what are we doing? Haas is the king in terms of free throw percentage in the history of the school. Why is he on the wrong side of half court, Tosh? Explain it to me.
I can't, you know, because I compare that to Kyle Korver. At the end of the game, he's not the point guard, but at the end of the game in foul situation, the ball is always inbounded to him. And he goes up there and he hits two free throws. And so Tyler Haas should be that man for us.
In baseball, they pay a ton of money to a closer who can come in and he's just automatic three outs. We're going to win once this guy comes in. If you have a lead late in games and they're fouling, Tyler Haas can be that for your team. He can close out the games and make no doubt about it. We missed free throws in that scenario. So my whole thing is if you're going to win and be a champion this year and make a deep run in tournaments and things like that, you're going to have to do some of those things.
My big worry is the defense, that we haven't had anyone challenge us yet. That's going to be the big thing I watch during the tournament, the Maui Invitational, is if we need a defensive stop, do we do it? Can we get it?
No.
We have to outscore teams. Because we don't have these guys that we're talking about and excited about. The only one we mentioned defense about it really at all is Corbin Kafusi, who's going to play limited minutes because of foul trouble. So we don't really have like a defensive – we don't have a defensive team.
Chase Fisher is better at defense than I thought he would be.
Yes.
Still not great.
No. Tyler Haas.
Tyler Haas has picked up his defensive effort.
Still not great.
Still not great. So, no. Listen, BYU wins by outscoring people, full stop. That is who they are this year, and I was surprised. I didn't think we'd get into 2-3 zone, but we did. We did definitely got into 2-3 zone against Long Beach State, and I think you're going to see it become more exclusively used as
with this personnel. I think we're forced to.
Yeah, right. So I just think that's the way it is. And also, you know, Worthington post defense this year has been really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
I wonder, so he's been starting but getting pretty limited minutes. Yeah. I'm just curious to see how that plays out this season.
Well, I wonder if it's like last year when he started starting and he was in there for a while. The ref set the tempo.
That's because Nika would get like 2 fouls in the first minute.
Right.
So they started starting Worthington and putting Nika in.
Well,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if that's what they're doing this time.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, he's not a bad player, but he certainly isn't somebody that I trust offensively or defensively. He's just he's a nice kid and all that, but he looks overmatched at this level of basketball, at least to this point. I mean, some guys are projects. They take some years to really mature into that role. Let's talk Maui. San Diego State, fun to see BYU play San Diego State again. They'll enter that game probably ranked 16th. They're going to win out this week. Maybe they'll move up to like ranked 15 or something like that. But highly ranked team.
They just beat another ranked team in Utah.
They just beat Utah. Ugliest game in the world. The Bricklayers.
53-49 game, I believe.
Yeah, rough game. Rough game. Halftime was like 18-17. Seriously. But this is San Diego State. If you were to kind of give a general profile of that team, right? What they do is they play great defense and they struggle to score. And it's been that way even when Jimmer was here and they were like the main opposition. They were a little better at scoring then, but boy, they played really good defense.
Yeah.
And so the thing that helped BYU beat San Diego State in the past is going to be the same thing that beats them in Maui at the Lahaina Civic Center. Is BYU has to shoot well. They got to make great shots. They got to hit threes. They've got to be big, right? And I just think that If they double Haas, then other guys are going to have to come in and shoot really well. BYU has been successful from three-point land so far this year. And I think they're going to have to hit a lot of threes in order to get by San Diego State. But it's a stylistic matchup. You got one team that's defensive heavy, struggles to score, and then you've got an offensive heavy team that struggles to stop.
We like winning games in the 90s. They like winning games in the 50s. And so it's kind of a battle of wills.
You're going to see a lot of games like the Long Beach State. If another team is competent, Long Beach State's competent. They're going to have a good year.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see a lot of games that are going to be 95-90 type games where BYU wins simply just because they outshot the opponent. And I feel like that's what's going to happen if BYU were to beat San Diego State. They're going to have to shoot great. And find ways to control the tempo of the game. A higher tempo pace will really help BYU. If it's limited and it's slower and it's more grinded out, the Aztecs are going to win that game.
Yeah, because they've got length, they've got more athleticism. What we have is scoring. So if we can let that's our dynamic. We got to outscore those guys. I'm excited about that game. As I look at the whole schedule, it's not just because I'm excited because it's coming up. Even on our schedule, it's great to play an old rival that's ranked. If we knock those guys off, not only does it really help us in the next matchup to play an awesome team, but it gets national attention that BYU's back.
Sure, and you know, And so the person to watch out for in San Diego State is J.J. O'Brien. He's their senior forward. He's a great player. He's got 12.5 points per game, 9 rebounds a game. He's their forward, 6'7". He's sort of kind of a wing that I don't know how they're going to defend him necessarily. He's sort of like Kawhi Leonard. Like, you remember how Kawhi Leonard was a small forward who would score not tons, like he never scored a ton, right? Yeah. But he always rebounded really well. Like J.J. O'Brien, he's 6'7", 220, really athletic player, can score a little bit and then rebounds a lot. Helps his team in a lot of ways because he also gets 3.5 assists per game. So J.J. O'Brien is, you know, really good player. He leads his team in the three major statistical categories. He'll be an interesting challenge for that. And I guess if I were to choose who was going to guard him, I would maybe do Kyle Collinsworth.
That's what I was going to say. Most years, for sure, Kyle Collinsworth. So it'll be a good test of how healthy is that knee and how confident he is in himself and Rose is in that, hey, he can take some abuse and really battle in a game. That when healthy, I think he's the guy that's got to stop JJ.
So this is also a coaching thing. I've always liked Dave Rose against Steve Fisher. And one of the things, I actually think we can put enough defensive effort in to maybe limit San Diego State because I don't think that they're dynamic offensively. I actually believe that BYU's defensive effort could slow down San Diego State to a degree, enough to win a game.
Okay.
Right? But I also believe that their defensive effort would be enough to really stifle the BYU offense. But this is easily the best game of the first round of the Maui Invitational.
Yeah.
Like, the other games are Purdue, Kansas State, Missouri, and Arizona, Pittsburgh and Chaminade, and then you got the Cougars versus San Diego State. So,
yeah, you can pick the winners in all of them, and then I think nationally people would say even in our game, but as fans, I think we've got a real fighter's chance against San Diego State.
I do, too. I think if they're going to lose, it's not a catastrophe. It's not a shock. It's not a surprise. It's maybe what's even expected at this point. But I just think the Cougars sometimes, they tend to shoot really well. The other thing, too, is San Diego State defensively against them in the past, doing a good pressure 2-3 zone has always been enough to really limit them. Like, BYU's better at doing a 2-3 zone, and they do, like, for whatever reason, San Diego State has always struggled attacking a zone defense. And so I think that'll be an interesting thing to keep track of. Okay, so, Tosh, let's start there. BYU, San Diego State, last game of the day on Monday. What do you think? Cougars, San Diego State,
My mind tells me San Diego State, but my heart tells me BYU. And I'll go BYU. I think that we can go in there. If Fisher and Haas are hitting, which right now my money's on that happening, I think we win that game.
If that happens, this is going to turn into a nice week for BYU. Yeah. Because I like them against Pittsburgh. Like, I think BYU can beat Pitt.
Yeah.
And I really, and then that would mean that they'd go into the finals.
Against Arizona.
Probably Arizona.
Number two team in the country.
We're not beating Arizona.
No.
We're not in a position to beat Arizona. Like, I mean, it may happen. Again, hot shooting. Like, you know, you can do, like, the pie in the sky thing. Like, hot shooting, and they have a bad day or whatever. There's too many horses down there. Arizona Wildcats are very good. Also, their coach has always had BYU's number, Sean Miller.
But if we make a run to the championship, well, he didn't have Jimmer's number, but...
He didn't have Jimmer's number, that's true.
If we make it to the finals in Maui, I think that just sets this up for a great season. Tournament seed ranking, national talks, like I really... That changes everything. But it all comes down to that San Diego State game, because if we lose that game, instead of playing Pitt...
Then instead of it being a really great week for BYU basketball, then it turns into kind of this bad one, because now they're going to end up playing Chaminade.
Kills our RPI.
Kills your RPI. It's not particularly a fun game. And, you know, BYU plays the late night game the night before, and then the next morning they play at 11:30 in the morning. In the loser's bracket against Chaminade. So that's a bad scenario. But if they get by Chaminade, then they'll probably take on the winner between Purdue and Missouri. And I would probably say Missouri.
Yeah, traditionally, well, lately anyway, Missouri basketball has been a little better.
Missouri is a bad matchup for BYU. I actually don't like BYU against Missouri because Missouri's great at press.
Yeah.
They press all the time, and so I feel like Missouri, with their full court pressure, would be a real problem for BYU. So that'll be a real interesting thing to keep track of. But you're on board with me on that. If we're picking this out, that's the two scenarios for BYU.
Yes,
you can either, if they beat San Diego State, then they get Pittsburgh and then Arizona, and if they lose to San Diego State, they then would beat Chaminade and probably play Missouri.
Which would be a tough game.
Missouri would be a tough game. Yep. Do you think they...
I think they could beat Missouri. It's just right now, I don't know. Missouri traditionally has had good guards. Well, they can hit threes. They press.
Yeah, and you're just going off pedigree of
program
of
at this
program,
point.
Yeah.
And, but I would give us a 50-50 chance in that game.
I mean, Purdue wouldn't be an easy game either. But right now, I mean, BYU is getting votes... and according to votes nationally and stuff like that, that puts them in front of Purdue. And I kind of think we'd get by Purdue. I don't like the matchup against Missouri. So I think we'd lose to Missouri, meaning sixth place. So if they beat San Diego State, they'll finish second in this tournament, we think.
Yeah.
And if they lose, then they're going to finish sixth. Or fifth, if you want them over Purdue. Or Missouri.
That first game's huge. I mean, I'm, again, for multiple reasons, I am really dialed in to
the biggest is RPI. It's the biggest is RPI because it's Chaminade. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to play Chaminade when you're out there. That's like the one. You want to go to the Maui tournament because you got a chance to play great teams. Unfortunately, it's hosted by Chaminade. And so you might have to play Chaminade. And there's literally nothing to gain from that. Everything to lose. So, all right, there it is. So I think what's most likely before the season, I said 1-2. I don't know. I think for whatever reason, maybe they lose to San Diego State and then lose that. So I'll say on the record, I guess I'll say sixth place. I really hope that's wrong. I would love to see them go and win the whole thing, of course. But a second place run would be a thrill. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of random questions to throw at you. So right now, Chase Fisher is shooting over 50% from three.
Yeah, that'll come down.
How long does that last? Next week's show, is he still over 50% from three?
No.
And see, that question...
That's a problem, then, yeah.
Well, that question is, I think, on how well we do. It will beat San Diego State if he can do that. If he can't, then I don't like our odds nearly as much.
Yeah.
But so far, he's four games in, and he's doing that's awesome.
We're also getting them really good looks. The other thing is transition threes too. I like that they in the past they haven't been shooting threes in transition. They've been shooting them early on and making them, and so it's good. I mean, in the same way that transition gets you a nice look at the hoop if you go to the basket, it can also provide a really good look from three, but you have to be confident to take it, and Chase Fisher is. Also, Tyler Hawes, his range has increased.
Yeah.
That would be the other thing I'd say about him.
That we need, in Rose's system, we need multiple players to be, really, I would say above 40% three-point shooters, yes. Or at least flirting with that. Right now, you know, Hawes is at 33, so we need him to hit a few more.
Yep.
Same with Skylar Halford's at 33. Anson Winder, who last year hit a good mark from three, and I still am not convinced, but the guy keeps hitting them. He's at 37%.
Yeah.
But really, yeah, that we have Fisher's carrying us at 53. And so as a team, because he shoots so many and he shoots at a good mark, we're over 40% as a team, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But we need the three-point shot to fall to win with Rose's style of play and to win in Maui.
Where are they at in free throws as a team?
71%.
Yeah, okay. So that's an improvement. Last year, I think they were like 68, 67.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, even that, like, I know that sounds like not that big of a difference. It turns out to be a pretty big difference.
It's several points every game.
Yeah, and so I just think that'll be an interesting battle. All right, so BYU in Maui, right, they win if, what's the one thing that has to happen?
Chase Fisher hits threes. That's my one thing. Or if I want to even be more generic, I would just say if BYU hits threes.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if it's Chase Fisher, but I think that's most likely. And so, to me, they win if they hit the three ball.
And part of why Chase Fisher's had a good start, right? I mean, teams so far, I mean, they know about Hawes. And so they're selling out on Tyler Hawes. Teams are going to start adjusting, though, and say you can't do that because Chase Fisher will beat you. And beyond that, we know San Diego's good enough man-wise. That they won't necessarily. I don't think they're gonna. Will they double Hawes, or will they trust that they have the athletes?
I think that they'll try just to man up. Well, what I would love, and it seems like Hawes, hopefully in the next week
so
or two.
So there's a chance Hawes can go nuts in that San Diego.
Last year, this time is when he started having like 40-point games.
Right.
And so I would love to see that happen.
Oh yeah. No, if he goes, if in Maui, if he's scoring 40 points and stuff, that's gonna be great.
Yeah.
All right, Tosh, I want you to tell me yes or no. I'm going to be at the tournament, hoping to hook up with a couple of the Vanquished Foe Riders down there. But I'm thinking about going to the San Diego State game. It's first come, first serve, so I'll have pretty good seats. Thinking about taking a sign with me.
Okay.
That says Alohas. Lame?
No, I mean, there's a little element of lame, but ESPN eats that up. So your odds of getting on ESPN, I think, are almost 100% if you have that Alohas.
Does that embarrass fan base?
No. Okay. No.
All right. I was thinking about adding to it now the words say Alohas. And on one side, you got like a cartoon. It's Hawes. He's shooting. Okay.
You need a picture, a headshot of Hawes, I think.
He's shooting from one side of the screen. It's him. Okay. It's a jersey. It says three on it. Okay?
Okay.
From his hand, there's a rainbow.
Oh,
goes
nice.
Across to a basket where the ball is going through the hoop. What do you think?
Love it.
Add that as well?
Yeah. Of course. You will be famous. Like, you might be,
Alohas. All right. Well, if you see me on TV, that's great. I'll also be wearing a BYU hockey
shirt. If he does go for 40, you could be on SportsCenter, you know, and they're lead into this game.
Alohas.
Poster and then Hawes going off, you know. So,
yeah,
this is your one chance at fame.
Here's the thing: will you text me and let me know and all that stuff if I'm on?
Oh yeah,
it's a late night game.
I will watch every game in Maui. So yeah, I will text you.
All right. The other thing is do I bring? Let's say I get on day one. Do I bring the sign again when they play Chaminade and stuff?
Well, what about what do you mean Chaminade? When we play Pit?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. When we play Pitt.
No, I mean, you can. We'll try to think of something else. So let's throw this out to our listeners. Like, yeah. If Keith, he's already got one perfect sign.
And one perfect sign.
So email in suggestions of other great signs so that he can get on multiple games in a row.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know. Like, there's always play on words, you know, like, but like a Chase Fisher sign, maybe, or.
Let's throw it out. So it's cougarcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Or at cougarcast on Twitter. If you can explain your sign in 140 characters, you know, that's great. Also, don't make it too elaborate. I am on vacation, so I don't want to spend that much time doing a sign. That being said, I did explain a really elaborate sign for the first one.
Yes, and I'm excited to see it. It will be on TV. I mean, it's a small gym. It's a high school gym. Like, you'll be on TV.
All right, if you see me on TV, tweet at me, and that'd be fun. If you can, some of you out there know how to do this, but like screen grab it, or I guess you can just take a picture of your TV,
too. I think anyone who listens to a podcast knows how to screen grab, so I think...
I don't.
All right, well, I overstated that.
All right, well, Tosh, have a good Thanksgiving, man.
Will do.
All right, and...
Aloha.
Mahalo. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!